verses 1 through 6, the Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." Verse 6, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Father, we thank you for your word. We are so thankful for the Holy Spirit who lives inside of every believer. And with the word of God and your spirit, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Help us, Lord, in these discernments. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This is Examining the Exalter, Part 2. We should be in constant discernment in life every day. With people we come in contact with people we're witnessing to, with people that we work with. Constant discernment. Anytime we hear teaching and preaching of the Word of God, we are to be in constant discernment of what we are hearing. If it is truth, we take it in, we rejoice, we embrace it, we learn from it, we grow from it. How about with songs? Even with the songs that we listen to, songs that we sing here, we must be careful to discern these songs because there's always an underlining message. In TV shows that you watch and in the movies that you watch, there's always an underlining message. We must be using discernment to find out what this message is. In verse 1, we looked at probably about a month and a half ago, since we've been here because of all the events we've had. The Bible says that we are to try the spirits, whether they are of God. We are to put them to the test. These people who come in and preach and teach, whether it be here or anywhere else, if it's on a radio, we are to put them to the test. And the test or the rule that we put them to is the Word of God. Heretics today are accepted in our society. Widely accepted. Readily accepted. Openly accepted in our day, in our society. To the point that people say that's just how they believe. If that's how they want to believe, it's okay. It's not going to affect me. But yet it does affect us because they're preaching and teaching their heresies. It can affect you. It can affect our children and our grandchildren, and it will. This is mainly because of the ignorance today of Christians. And I don't mean that in a bad way. The word ignorant is not a bad word. Ignorant means you don't know something. There are two types of ignorance. There is an ignorance of saying, "I don't know, but I want to know." And then there is the ignorance of saying that "I don't know and I don't want to know." That's the bad ignorance. But there's an ignorance of the truth of the Word of God today. And therefore, that messes up our discernment. Understand, the Holy Spirit lives inside of every believer. And when we hear something that is not right from the Word of God, bells and whistles should be going off on the inside, letting us know that what we just heard did not sound right. Some things we can detect immediately and know that they're not right. Other things we'll have to go home and study to find out if they are true or not. Here in John's day, at the churches of Asia Minor, the churches have truly been under attack by false prophets and false teachers. And this is the same way as it is here in America today, except the only difference is today here in America is that we have much faster ways, more convenient ways for the false prophets and teachers to get their message out. We have this internet, we have the television, we have radio. And they're able to get their message out quicker and often louder. And here's the problem. It's going to be like this until Christ comes back. A constant fight. A constant feuding between truth and error. You and I are to defend the faith, and the Bible says in the book of Jude to earnestly contend for the truth. We should never water down the truth for the sake of offending someone. If someone is a heretic teaching heresies, we should label them as such. So we are to examine the exalter and what they are exalting. We are to examine them by and through the Word of God. Be careful not to be critical to the point where we try to form someone to our traditions or to examine them by our traditions. We should always examine people by the Word of God. And I say that to say this, those in foreign countries don't do the way we do things here. How many people in foreign countries wear suits and ties when they preach? Most of them ain't got tennis shoes on. So what I'm saying is be careful how we judge people or view people or examine people. Always view them by the Word of God. Look at verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. He's saying here, this is how we know if someone is of God or not. And here is one of the tests. Verse 2. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. This word confesseth is to speak or say the same with another, to say the same things, to assent, accord, to agree with. Notice what this person is agreeing to here in verse 2. That Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. To agree that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is for you and I to agree with the Scriptures. To agree with the Word of God. So in other words, if we agree He came in the flesh, we agree with the Scriptures, right? If we disagree that He came in the flesh, then we are disagreeing with who? The Scriptures. This takes us back to many Scriptures that we already know. And I'm so glad that these Scriptures over and over, we hear them all the time, and we're going to hear them again tonight. And listen, we learn by repetition, and we become grounded in these Scriptures. Remember that heretics always attack Christ. They always take away from who Christ is, what He did, and what He's doing, and what He's going to do. Why? Because where's our hope at? Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And if you take away Christ, you take away our hope. Then we must look to other places and other things when we are to only look to Christ. In Genesis chapter 3, let's go there. Verse 15, again, these Scriptures we're going to look at are Scriptures that we all know. But they're very important. And these same Scriptures that we stress on a regular basis or Scriptures that people, these Antichrist, try to twist and turn and mislead people. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now what is this here? This is a promise from God to Adam and Eve, basically to the whole human race, that He was going to send who? His Son. To do what? To die on the cross of Calvary. Why? To defeat the kingdom of Satan, to destroy death, to pay your and my sin debt. Now, look over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7. We can agree, according to the Word of God, that Christ was going to come. All through the Old Testament, you see he is the line of the tribe of Judah. He was going to be a descendant of David. God called Abraham, and from Abraham was going to come Christ. So all these biblical truths are attacked by the heretics. Here's another truth that's attacked. And you see it a lot, especially if you watch the television, if you watch the History Channel, this is attacked very, very much. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord Himself said, give you a sign, behold, a what? A virgin. This is very, very important when looking at the birth of Christ. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And watch this last part. And shall call His name what? Now, what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. I'm going to say that again. God with us. Now, has that happened yet in Isaiah? No. But it's going to happen in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 again. More scriptures that we know. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. He sent forth His Son. This tells you now that He was already what? Existing. That He didn't begin to exist when He was born. Over in the book of Luke, chapter 1, we hear these scriptures often around Christmas time. And listen, it's very important that we hear these scriptures. Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called what? The Son of God. Now look over in the book of Matthew. Look over in the book of Matthew, chapter 1. We see the same thing. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of who? The Holy Ghost. This is very important. We understand this. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. In other words, it's not of man. It's not by the seed of man. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Why was it so important that Mary be a virgin? Because no man was involved whatsoever. No man was involved. Now let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We must understand that many people back then were teaching that Christ did not come in the flesh. And many people today teach that Christ was not of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Look over in verse 14. And the Word was made, or took on a new form, what? Flesh. And dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So what do we see here? The Word became flesh. Now how long had the Word been the Word? Who is the Word? It's Jesus Christ. He had been with the Father ever since eternity's past. How long is that? We have no idea. We can't comprehend these things. But he did not begin to exist when he was born on this earth. He has always been. Look over in the book of Philippians. Then we'll preach a little more. Look in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 6 says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Scripture plainly tells you and I that Christ was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All these scriptures plainly tell you and I that God became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Christ is the Son of God and the Son of man. He was 100% God and 100% man. We learned from John chapter 9 just a few weeks ago that Christ did not come into the world to judge the world,
But yet, by his life that he lived, the whole world judged. We are held to the highest standard. Now understand this, which is what? Perfection in who? In Christ. He is our standard. God in the flesh. And therefore we fall miserably short. And to deny that Christ came in the flesh is to reject the plan and the promise of God. It is to reject the fulfillment of God's word. And people hate to be held accountable. And Christ holds you and I accountable. The Word of God holds us accountable. If Christ hadn't come in the flesh, we'd have no intercessor. No helper. Let me throw this in here too. The work of Christ on the cross, Christ finished that work. It was a completed work, a perfect work. He satisfied the wrath of God while on the cross. He is our Redeemer. There is no co-redeemer. We have watched a video and learned about the Marian movement, about how Mary is becoming more and more a co-redeemer through the Catholic Church. There is no co-redeemer. It is Christ and Christ alone. If Christ hadn't come in the flesh, we'd have to go to the Pope or the priest. We'd have to go to someone else for help. We'd have to go to someone else for hope. Look in Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 14 through 16. Again, very familiar verses. Hebrews 4, 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Folks, Christ suffered and went through all that we have and will go through. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Look over in chapter 2, starting in verse 9. I will read down through verse 18. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh, watch this, and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same of what? Flesh and blood. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. And what is the seed of Abraham? Flesh and blood. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, watch this last part, he is able to succor or help them that are tempted. Amen? Because of Jesus Christ, God coming in the flesh, we have hope. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 25 and 26, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. In Hebrews chapter 10, we see types and pictures in the Old Testament of the coming Christ. Verse 1 says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect, or forgiven, or sins taken away. But look at verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Listen, all these other types and pictures could never take away sins. But when Christ came in the flesh and died on the cross for you and I, he did not just cleanse us, he took away our sins, the Bible says. Cast as far as the east is from the west. Now here's a problem that we run into. We say obviously that the Bible states that Christ came in the what? Flesh. He came flesh and blood. Many cults say that Jesus was flesh and blood. The Muslims say he was a great prophet. A great man. The Mormons say he was a good man. The Jehovah's Witnesses say that he was a good man. But here's what they deny. Look back in verse 2 of 1 John 4. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus, what's that next word? Christ. This is what they say. Yes, Jesus came in the flesh. Jesus came in the flesh. They dare not say Jesus Christ came in the flesh. What is Christ? Christ is the anointed one, the Messiah. The majority of cults today do not deny that Jesus was an actual person. But they deny his deity. They deny that he is God. This includes Judaism, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Muslims. We keep going on and on and on. They don't deny that Christ came. Or they don't deny that Jesus came. They simply deny that he is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. I was reading on the news yesterday morning on sermon audio. You know, Iraq is being overrun again by the Muslims, the radical Muslims. I'm not sure if y'all keeping up with it. I don't know if the regular news media is reporting it or not. I have no idea. I figure they're probably not, because what's happening is that they're overrunning these towns and the Christians are fleeing or dying. This is what they're doing. They're going to the houses of the Christians. They're not painting a J on it or a C for Jesus Christ. They're painting an N on it. For Jesus of Nazareth. If you read in the New Testament, the Gospels, you see often, even in the book of Acts, that they, of the religious crowds, would call Jesus, not the Christ, but Jesus of Nazareth. This was a derogatory term. Can you think of some derogatory terms today in our culture? Well, that's how they view Jesus. That was simply a derogatory term. What good come from Nazareth? Anything good come from there? Any kind of prophets? That's what they were saying. Nothing good come from Nazareth. The least town and the least place in all of Judea. In John 18, when they come to arrest Jesus in the garden, he asks them, he says, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Again, that derogatory term. Here's the thing. Many of these people, or these cults, they say that they know the Father. They say that God is their Father. A lot of them say that God, Jehovah God, Yahweh, and Allah are the same. Hear it all the time. These are ignorant people. People who sometimes don't know no better. On the other hand, it is the spirit of Antichrist, those who oppose Christ. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 8. Verse 41, ye do the deeds of your father. Then say they to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, watch this, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Watch what he said again. If God were your Father, ye would love me. Let me ask you something about these cults. Do they love Jesus? No. They don't love Jesus. Often they take the name Christianity, such as Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and the Roman Catholics, the Pentecostals. And y'all know I'm telling it right. They'll take the name Christianity because of what all comes with it. Tax write-offs. A good name in the community. Yet, they do not love Jesus Christ. Look at verse 44. This explains more of who they are. Especially the Muslim. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye would do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Have y'all ever heard of the Reformation? I know that you've heard of the Dark Ages. And I say this often. I want to encourage y'all to read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Because you find out that there were those who proclaimed allegiance with Christ, proclaimed allegiance with God, and yet they murdered, they killed thousands upon thousands of people who loved Jesus Christ. And of course, we see the same thing, and by the way, that was the Catholic Church. And we see the same thing today with the Muslims. They're doing the same thing, killing people, murderers from the beginning. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now I want you to keep this in mind as we go through 1 John. Let's go back to 1 John. Remember that John is writing to the churches in Asia Minor. In writing, he is exposing the heretics and their heresies. Now I want you to think about this. As they are reading this letter, people are coming to their minds. Those who oppose Christ come to their mind. And no doubt, as we've been going through this tonight, people that you know of have come to your mind. How about people on TV? People on the radio? How about people in our own parish here? Than driving distance. Has anybody come to mind about those who oppose Christ? Amen. Look back in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We see that, listen, the writings of John are tremendous. I say that the whole Bible is tremendous. And I guess whichever book I'm in at the time is the book I like the most, but John is straight to the point. Watch what he says in verse 1 of 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning. Now don't get that confused with in the beginning. From the beginning speaks of Christ's incarnation. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Now obviously John was not there in the beginning. Which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, and the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it, and bear witness and shew unto you that eternal life. Here he's speaking of the deity of Christ. In the beginning, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Look over in 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse 20, and then we'll read 18 through 23 after we look at 20. Verse 20 says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. What's John doing here? He's starting out with the fact that Christ is who he says he is in 1 John 1 and 2. And in chapter 20, he's letting these believers know. He's saying, listen, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Therefore, you have unction. You have understanding. You know these things. He says, look, I'm writing to you because you know these things, not because you don't know them. You know them. Look at verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, watch this, that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? Watch verse 22. But he that denieth that Jesus is what? The Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth, watch this, the Father and the Son. If you deny one, guess what you do? You deny the other. In verse 23, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. These deny the deity of Christ. I'll give you another example. The Jehovah's Witnesses. Charles Taze Russell. He is the one who started, he is the founder of the Jehovah's false witness cult. He's the founder. Go back to the founders and you find out much about the religion. He hated the doctrine of the deity of Christ. He hates it with a passion. The fact that Christ was God, he couldn't stand it. So guess what he did? He changed it. Back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, he changed Scripture. He said he knew Greek. He said he was a Greek scholar. And when he was on stand in the courtroom, they said, do you know Greek? He said, yeah, I know Greek. So the lawyer said, what's this word? He said, I don't know. In other words, guess what? He didn't know Greek. Yet he changed the Scripture. He changed the King James Bible and left the word King James on it. They come to my house one day. They've been there quite a few times. They hadn't been lately. Amen. But they come one day. I hadn't been saved very long. And I was actually inside reading my Bible. I was home alone. I was preaching pretty much by myself. Way before I understood that the Lord was calling me to preach. I was in there just having a good old time in the Word. I was reading Psalms. Let me turn there. I was reading Psalm chapter 9, verse 17. And they pulled up outside. I said, who was that? I looked out the window. I said, that's Jehovah's Witnesses. All right. So I ran outside all excited. Get to see them. Get to talk to them. Get to tell them about Jesus. I knew there was something there that was different, but I didn't know much about it. And she asked me how I was doing. I said, great. I said, I've been outside reading my Bible. And she said, well, that's good that young men read their Bible. She was trying to flatter me. I said, can I show you what I was reading? She said, yeah. She gave me her Bible. Look, it was King James. I was all excited. I said, yeah, it's going to be in there. I opened it up. And I looked at her and said, it ain't there. And she just kind of smiled. I said, the Bible says that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. And she just kind of smiled, backing up. I said, it ain't in your Bible. What happened? Well, he didn't like it. So he took it out. He didn't like the deity of Christ, and he didn't like the doctrine of eternal punishment. So he took all those things out, or he changed it. John chapter 1. We just read it a while ago. In the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He changed all that up to make it appear that Jesus was created. He wanted Christ to be a created being. Why? Because he didn't want no accountability. And then you have the Mormons, who believe that Jesus and God both were men that worked their way up to godhood. That's what they believe. Sounds crazy? It is crazy. It's not of God. That's doctrines of demons. Seducing spirits. That's just a few examples. Let me give you another example of Antichrist. Y'all ready for this? Those who simply deny the Trinity. Do y'all know of anybody that denies the Trinity? I'll go ahead and tell you. The Pentecostals. They deny Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They deny this. They say, oh, but the word Trinity is nowhere in the Bible. You're right. The word Trinity is not. Neither is the word rapture. yet we're going to be called away. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, but there are scriptures dealing with the Trinity. 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are what? One. Mark 1:9-11, we see a perfect illustration. And we heard this last week at the question from Brother Jeremy, how he answered the question in this area, that when Jesus was baptized, you had Jesus being baptized, you had the Holy Ghost descending from heaven, and the Father from heaven speaking. What do you have? Three. The Trinity. A triune God is who God is. And we are made in the likeness of Him, body, soul, spirit. To deny the Trinity is to deny Scripture. Someone who does this is a heretic. They are anti-Christ. They oppose Christ. And we should mark them as such and have no fellowship with them. We know a heretic by what they teach about Christ. Would you agree that many cults have good teachings? Good moral teachings? Have y'all ever looked at the family that the Mormons teaches about? They are big time family people, the Mormons are. Promote family, 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 family. And there are those who promote it in a wrong way. We know that, with polygamy and whatnot. But they promote family unit. They promote modest apparel. And they suck people into these things. Yet, they believe that Christ was a created being. They take away what Christ did on the cross. Do you know what all these false religions have in common? Every one of them. A works for salvation. You got to earn it. So you can boast in it. All of them have this in common. A work for salvation. Now, why is it that they have a lot of things that are in common? Because they have one person or one being behind them, that is Satan, the spirit of Antichrist. There is a constant trend to take away from Christ to the point that he was just a good man. These are doctrines of demons. Look at verse 3 of 1 John 4. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This word confesseth is to speak again the same with another, simply to agree with. So if you agree not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, the Bible says that you are not of God. This means that they don't agree with the teachings of the Bible. Not just Jesus. We must see this here. Not just that Jesus came in the flesh, but yet that Jesus was the Christ that came in the flesh. God in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. When they deny that Christ came in the flesh, they are not of God. It's just plain and simple. Now, here's a question. If they are not of God, then who are they of? The spirit of Antichrist. Watch what the Bible says in verse 3. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. What is an Antichrist? Here, understand it's not talking about the Antichrist at the end of the age. This is talking about the spirit of Antichrist. This is an opponent of the Messiah. For someone to deny that Jesus is the Christ is to deny that He is the only way to the Father, is to deny that He paid the Son debt, is to deny that He is the Son of God, is to deny that He is the second person of the Trinity, and is to promote a works for salvation. These are all Antichrist. They are opponents of Christ. How do we know this? Well, look back in verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Verse 3. This is that spirit of Antichrist. Over in 1 Timothy, here's just a few things again, more scripture that we're familiar with, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed, watch this, to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, teachings of devils, demonic teaching, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their beard on iron. Here are some examples. Forbidding to marry. Does that ring a bell? Roman Catholics. And commanding to abstain from meats. Also Roman Catholics. About Muslims. About Seventh-day Adventists. Same way. Can't eat pork. Can't eat catfish. Sound like a pretty dull life. Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. These are just a few things. Look back in verse 3 of 1 John 4. At the end of verse 3. Whereof ye have heard that it should come. What should come? Antichrist. And even now, already, is it in the world? Not that it should come, but that it has already come. It's here. It's active. And it's doing what it's doing. It is Antichrist. Look back in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but do what? Try the spirits. Again, in chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible says they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they hadn't been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, why? That they might be made manifest. That it might be brought to light that they are not of us, but that they are of the spirit of Antichrist. And even now already is it in the world. They are here. They are active. We know them by what they teach. We take and put them up against the scriptures, and it will judge them. And then we will know with clarity. Folks, if we know truth, we can detect error. If we know truth, we can be in constant discernment. I've been pushing this. I've been stressing this a lot, especially here lately, about in areas that you and I are weak in the Word of God. Those are the same areas that Antichrist will come and try to sweep us away. To try to take away our hope that we have in Christ. If we know the truth, we can take a bold stand against the Antichrist. Are we to be love? You better believe it. We are to be love. Are we to take a bold stand against heresies? Let me ask you this. If someone threw a poisonous snake in your house, would you feed it? Would you love on it? Would you caress it? Would you put it in the bed with your children? Why wouldn't you? It's not will it bite, it's when it bites. It's going to inject something to your children, even you. What is it? It's poison. So, if we allow heretics in our homes, if we allow heretics in the churches to stand behind this pulpit and teach and preach, they are injecting venom into you and I, into our ears, our minds, our hearts. So, I'm strong, I can handle it, but our kids may not be, and they're not. We should be loving. But there's also a time to take a bold stand. There's a time to stand and say, I will not back up. I will not back down. You are wrong. You are a heretic. And tell it like it is. Mark them. I think about those scriptures. Mark them which cause divisions among you and have no fellowship with them. I think about spray paint. I do. I just spray them down. What happened to them? They marked. That's a heretic. Can't do that. But we can take a bold stand, and we should take a bold stand against the Antichrist. Now, oh, Lord, help us here. When they come to your door, and they knock, Are you supposed to let them in? No, you take a bold stand against them. Amen. Verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Y'all do understand that we belong to God. We are His children. Amen. At the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of every believer. So who is in us? Spirit of God. Notice who is in them. Now, if you keep this in context here, there's a constant distinction which gives us a constant discernment between these two spirits. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who is in them? The spirit of Antichrist. Because of the Spirit of God living inside of us, we can know others when they are being led of the Spirit of God, of the Spirit of Antichrist. This is why we must be in constant discernment. Constant discernment with people we talk to. Hey, if we're in constant discernment, then we'll know also know how to witness to them. We'll also know whether to not or not to listen to them. I guess we've all been stung by this bug of not wanting to offend nobody, not wanting to hurt no one's feelings. I was listening to a message today by Vance Hafner. Son gone on be with the Lord. He said as a young man he saw R.A. Torrey sitting. So he went to go sit beside him, just talking to him. And R.A. Torrey asked him, he said, what do you do? He said, well, I do a little of this, a little of that. And he looked at him and said, young man, find one thing and stick with it. And that was all, pretty much all he had to say. What happened to you and I? What happened to people today? We're concerned about being politically correct. Don't want to hurt people's feelings. Therefore, we take sin and say, yeah, that's okay. That's all right. Instead of calling it what it is. In other words, we have not been earnestly contending for the faith. Look at verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Who are they? They are the Antichrist. The world flocks to false prophets and Antichrist. I can remember and look at the Strange Fire Conference that they had over at Brother John MacArthur's church last year. I found out about a guy in Lakeland, Florida. I don't even remember the old boy's name. But he was the new big thing. And people flocked to him. Thousands upon thousands. What was he? Antichrist. Why did they flock to him? Because they are of the same world. False religions? Antichrist. A lot of people flock to him because they are of the same world. Do you understand that true Christianity has always been the minority? Israel was the least. Abraham was the least. You have the broad road, the narrow road. How many is on the broad road? Many. How many is on the narrow road? Few, the Bible says. Notice, look in verse 6. It says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Notice the they and them in verse 5. They are of the world, them of the world. They heareth them. And the we and us in verse 6. Again, more distinction. Folks, we have no fellowship, not hearing or receiving of what they are saying. And because we stand on the word of God, they will not want to have fellowship with us, neither will they receive what we are saying. They will not receive the truth. How do we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error? Well, by what they teach and by how they live. This discernment comes from the Holy Spirit and dwells inside of every believer. These antichrists are very persuasive. Don't ever think that you are above being tested or tried. Was Jesus tempted by the devil? Then who are we compared to Jesus? Let me step here for a second. And this coming up Sunday in John chapter 10, we'll look more at these things. But there may be some small things that slip under our radar. But when someone starts telling you that Jesus Christ is not who the Bible says He is, alarm should be going off. Saying this person is Antichrist. Our Antichrist detector will let us know this is not of God. I want to stress again, this is why we must be grounded in the Word. Not just grounded, but constantly growing in the Word. Have Antichrist ever tried to come in this church? Yeah. They have. Some of y'all don't even know. And that's okay. On one hand, it's okay. I can remember when this church first started. We've been here 7.5 years. Before we even got started, had a man come to me wanting to come in and set up a display by the front door about end times. He was big in end times. Yet he denied that Jesus was the Son of God. He denied the Trinity. Have others tried coming in, y'all? Have others tried to get in a place where they could spread their heresies, y'all? My question to you is, have you seen it? Have you discerned it? Will they continue to come in? That's what he says. Even now, already, is it in the world? Actively involved? Oh, yeah. Let me tell you how they come in often. The devil does more damage through religion than he will ever in any other way. When he puts on that light of deception, transformed to an angel of light. This is what they'll do. They'll come in. They'll get to know us. And then when they feel comfortable, they'll start doing it. Start promoting their heresies. We've seen it before. I have. Dealt with it before. And we'll see it again. Here's my question to you. Are we grounded enough in the Word of God to know heresy when we hear it? Will we know heresy when we hear it? Good question. Our responsibility is to know the Word of God. And when we know it, we will have to earnestly contend for the faith. This means we'll have confrontations with people. How many of y'all love confrontations? I don't like it. I was talking to my wife this evening about confrontations, and we was talking about the message this evening. And she did bring out a point. She told me that I have a demeanor of bringing on. I said, you're right. We kind of laughed a little bit. And she said, I also have a demeanor of provoking people to bring it on. And I went back to whenever I was lost and said, yeah, I can see that. no doubt. So I'm not saying start trouble. But we must be able to confront people with the truth. And confront them in such a way that brings honor and glory to Christ, not our flesh. This means that at times we'll lose friends. I think many of us have already experienced that. This means that family members will get mad at us. I think we've already experienced that, everyone here. But keep this in mind. There are two different worlds on this earth. The saved world and the lost world. God's kingdom, Satan's kingdom. A clear distinction. Here's the question tonight. Which one are you part of? I'm glad to be caught by His grace, not my own. Amen. To God be the glory. Let's pray. We thank